we're talking COVID-19, of course. As a short-term scientific model shows that the Western Cape is very close to its COVID-19 mortality peak, and according to the pandemic data analytics formula, also known as PANDA, the province could reach a peak mortality rate between the 23rd of June and the 7th of July. And during this time, it is kind of expected, you know, that the maximum number of deaths in the province of around 44 to 59 deaths per day will occur. Definitely not good news that I want to speak to the Premier of the Western Cape about, Mr. Alan Wendy. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Premier. As always, lovely chatting to you. I think we first need to understand, you know, the models that are sort of being used, PANDA versus what are being currently used in the Western Cape. If you can just unpack that for us a little bit.
Sure, good morning. Thanks for being with you. Well, we've got our own modelers that we've had in place from the very beginning, led by a professor from UCT, Professor Andrew Bull, and of course our own medical team within the province. And what we also do is we check in with other organizations. So about 3 weeks ago, we asked the Actuarial Society of South Africa to also review our models, as well as a group that call themselves the MASHA Group. And it's a partnership. That's the group that the National Department of Health uses. So we sort of measure our scenarios and our tracking with those others. I think that was when you heard us revising of perhaps going even with a few more beds when we did the last review, and that was to say, should we build the CTICC2? Mm. So some work was started, and we haven't pushed the go button yet, but they're busy just finalizing all of the work that we'd learned, lessons learned from doing CTICC1. So it's all ready to go, and should we get to a trigger point, we will then push that button to build even more hospital beds. And then, of course, there's the model you've just been speaking about, the PANDA model, which is a little bit, I would say the bed numbers are slightly less than the trajectory that we chose as a province. But the interesting thing is, if you go back to our original model that we put on the table, which is probably about 120 days ago, and you track it, I think we're tracking pretty close to that original model that the team put together. If anything, actually better. So that's good news. I mean, what I really don't want is people lining up in parking lots outside of our hospitals and there's no beds.
Yeah, and in fact, that was going to be my next question, Premier, because, I mean, if you look at the peak mortality rate, it is estimated between the 23rd of June and the 7th of July, you know, and this is also when many more children will be phased in at schools from the 6th of July. And, you know, surely one can then predict that the peak is going to even, you know, there's going to be a significant increase, I suppose. You know, and are we ready for this? And is this something that should be reconsidered, especially here in the Western Cape, having a 60% infection rate versus the rest of the country?
Yeah, we're 60% of South Africa's infection rate. I mean, we're definitely only at 60%. I mean, we have 7 million people, and we've had a total of 45,000 people infected out of 7 million so far. I mean, we watch those numbers all the time. We've gone, our initial growth in numbers happened during level lockdown 5, and that initial growth happened in any of our front lines. So it could have been medical, it could have been policing or law enforcement, and it obviously was in retail as well and manufacture. Then, of course, the economy started to open up under level 4, and you naturally would see the numbers rising, but you have to find a balance. You can't have everybody locked up in their homes to protect them from COVID-19, and then everyone dies of hunger. So this is the big and the tough decision that we have to make when we, you know, sitting with all of these numbers in front of us, and we need to preserve life. We need to make sure that everyone has the best chance that they can have. But at the same time, we've also got to make sure that we don't deprive people, because it's about the humanitarian disaster versus the health disaster.
Yep.
But I must also say that if I have a look at the numbers in the last few days, in actual fact, our numbers are lower than projected, even though we were going into level 3 lockdown. So I think that tells me a few things. One is it tells me that South Africans and people in the Western Cape are really trying hard to work on the social distancing and the masks, etc. Although you do see some people perhaps not adhering to the rules, But then also we've got to focus on the hotspot areas. And definitely I've seen it in where we started off in the Winelands. I definitely saw a marked improvement on slowing the spread. And my early stats now for Dunoon are looking pretty good. I think that we're starting to get that behavioral change. We know we're constantly working with the whole of government and the whole of society. We've got to all do this together. And I think as we reach the peak, and our predictions are the same, that it's the end of June, beginning of July, and that we're a couple of weeks ahead of other provinces. We've got to continue working together to make sure we slow the spread at the same time as averting humanitarian disaster, making sure that our health system can cope.
Yeah. Now, there was also, a question that came through from many actually to ask, can you reach more than one peak? Because I know that even the president said that if things doesn't improve, that we can move back to level 4, level 5, depending on how things are going, And in terms of the peak that one is anticipating, everybody's saying, between August, September, you can expect the peak to rise, the increases to rise and stuff. Is there a possibility of having more than one peak in this province?
Most definitely. I mean, you can already, I don't know if you've heard that in China, they've actually just gone back to lockdown in Beijing, where they've closed schools now.
Yeah.
So definitely, there's no cure for this virus. It doesn't have a vaccine or anything. Obviously, we're really excited when you hear about the trials that were done in Oxford, and we actually are doing this using the same product in our hospitals. And that's good news because that reduces chances of death in ICUs where you're using high pressure oxygen or ventilators, reduces about 30%, which is a major number. So these are all good news things, but at the end of the day, none of them actually do stop the virus. We know that the virus is very risky for certain people and not risky for other people.
Yeah.
But we've got to make sure that we're managing it as best we can. We know that, and this is the main message, is, protect Gran, protect Mom, protect Aunt or Uncle. That is the new communication message in the hotspots. It is saying, you've got to make sure if you've got a comorbidity or you're elderly, that you need to have a cocoon around you. You need to be protected. And obviously other people, your job is to minimize the spread. You have less chance of dying. You definitely, if you're asymptomatic, you've even got less chance of being, passing it on. But you all do have some sort of risk. And that's why the whole of society, everyone has got to take sort of extra precaution to make sure that we keep the spread slow.
I must be very honest with you, Premier. I'm impressed that, the Department of, Education here in the Western Cape, as well as the National Department of Education, they've given the option for homeschooling and being able to, register with your school to do school from home and, with the packs and all that kind of stuff. So that kind of just put parents on a little bit more on a comfortable footing on that point. But just before I let you go, Premier, let's talk about the developments at the CTICC. How's things going there?
Yeah, no, they're going well. I don't know. I didn't get my numbers yesterday. I'll get them this morning now. But we're not overwhelmed. I think as of yesterday, I think 54 patients came in, and I think 15 were discharged and went back home. And it's operational. We will be collecting some more blankets. It's supposed to be in big open space. Sometimes could be a little bit chilly when we have some bad weather coming through. But so far, so good. It is a really high-tech environment. We've got some amazing officials that work in our health department, and especially those in the tech, in the ICT space. They really use this opportunity not only to build a field hospital, but also to make it high-tech, paperless. So that's really great news, because what happens is you learn and innovate, and then we'll reverse that innovation back into all of our hospitals over time. So that, everything becomes paperless. Yeah. And that really is great news. It shows you that innovation can happen. We had the same thing with our taxi industry and the red dots. So we're getting our medical staff to and from work and home and in a safe way. And, these innovations come because that's, I think, what we do as South Africans. When we're pushed into a corner, we innovate, we create things, we do things that eventually end up benefiting the whole of society. And that's very good news.
Premier, I promise, last question that came through from one of our listeners, actually, from 4741. The person wanted to know, you know, salam, gulam, and good morning to Premier. Oh, okay, what happened there? Let's just try and get back to it quickly. basically, what the person is saying is that, you know, that they are concerned about the fact that, you know, that the unbanning of alcohol, for example, happened. Now, that obviously happened on a national level, firstly. But, you know, was there any opportunity for the Western Cape government to say, we don't want alcohol to be, you know, unbanned here? Because it appears that the trauma cases have increased by over 60%, according to this person that sent through the message as well. Did the Western Cape government have sort of any influence or any say to say, listen, in the Western Cape, let's just not open up liquor stores yet?
Okay, so we did have, and we did, you know, I believe that, especially when you've got an industry that employs about 280,000 people, that we needed to at least get that industry back up and running again because people weren't putting any food on their tables. The problem is not really whether the alcohol is banned or unbanned. The problem is the abuse of it. And, I really must say that I was distressed when I saw how many people were going hungry. But I was also distressed just to see how many people were standing in long queues that had money for alcohol but not money for food. That distressed me. And then, of course, the abuse. So, we monitor it very, very closely, and it is totally unacceptable where someone goes and abuses alcohol and then has to take up a hospital bed because of that abuse, or abuses some innocent person and that person has to now take up a hospital bed because of the abuse of alcohol, and that's absolutely unacceptable. We need responsibility, whether it's behind the wheel of a car in an accident or whether it's somebody abusing something like alcohol. We need people to take serious responsibility for their fellow citizens around them. And so we monitor it very closely. Let me put this, it this way, that our trauma cases that are alcohol-related, we were having about 90 a day before the lockdown. Then they came right down at the lockdown because people weren't moving around. So we didn't see motor vehicle accidents, but we also didn't see alcohol-related trauma. That came back up again to 45 cases a day. And sometimes 50 cases a day. So not back to the levels that we were at before the lockdown. But, one bed being used by someone who's just abused alcohol when you need it for needed for COVID-19 is unacceptable. So, you know, obviously we're monitoring it. We will have a look. We will then have to deal with it as goes on. Yeah. Even more concerning for me is also the flare-up in gangsterism. And the shooting and art just drives me crazy.
Gender-based violence. You can just add to the list, Premier, as we go along. You know,
exactly. We have asked a lot of our deep officers were deployed for COVID-19 management, and so now we've asked that they all be brought back again and now put back onto these crime hotspot areas, specifically driven by gangsterism. And then, of course, the point that you've just raised. I really was happy that the president came out and spoke out against gender-based violence. You know, I think when we were in lockdown, it was definitely the silence. I was always hearing from Minister Shana Fernandes that these cases are coming up. And people are petrified because, they, as the president said yesterday, we know who these people are. They live among us. And, we need to make sure that these men are dealt with. So I was glad of that it was mentioned. And I mean, this is a big scourge in our society, a big blight on our copybook, and we as society definitely have to make sure that we fix this thing.
Premier, this is just I promise this is one last question that's coming
no
through
problem.
But hierdie een is in Afrikaans, so Premier moet my nou vir my vergewe, van my Afrikaans is so goedie, maar hierdie een wil geweet het, Premier, goeiedag, meneer Alan Windy, sê gou vir my nou, wat is die probleem met ons sigarette?
Ja, ons het nou net gepraat van die wyn en die drank, en dit is wettig, maar sigarette is nie wettig nie. So ek moet sê dat ek het in die begin, ek kon het glad nie verstaan nie. Ek verstaan van 'n mediese kant af, en jy weet, ek verstaan dit, dat iemand wat nou rook, sy gezondheid is onder druk en onder gevaar. Maar ek weet nie in die middel van 'n lockdown of om hierdie COVID te veg, of dit die regte ding is. Ek het nou net gepraat van die gangs wat teruggekom het. Wat vir my totaal onaanvaarbaar is, is dat mense kry nog steeds, hulle, of hulle het hulle drank gekry en definitief hulle sigarette gekry, maar net onwettig.
Ja.
En as jy onwettig een sigarette kry, dan kan jy onwettig enig iets kry.
Das
en so wat gebeur het, is jy ondersteun vir die onwettige ekonomie en vooral gangsterism, you were keeping them going and in actual fact boosting them because that was the illicit underworld.
Yeah.
And really it does disturb me. I must say that I said I'm not going to spend too much time fighting on the cigarette front. I did a right up front. I was fighting much more for hospital beds and you know, medical facilities to prepare ourselves for COVID-19.
Mm.
But this evening was a took for dust in New Fisnani.
Right, we're going to have to leave it there. Premier Alan Wendy, the Premier of the Western Cape. Thank you very much, Premier, and please do keep us informed with your various departments as well. We appreciate that. And have an absolutely blessed day. Thank you so much for your time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Of course, the voice there of Premier Alan Wendy, the Western Cape Premier here in the Western Cape.